Welcome to this week's podcast. I'm Mickey Badlamenti, discipleship pastor here at Rock Point Community Church. Our goal in the messages we share is to consistently present God's truth in ways that will challenge you, bring you new perspective, and ultimately lead you into closer relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Wherever you're listening from, we hope this message encourages you in your faith. We also welcome you to visit us anytime you're in the Detroit area. Our Sunday services are at 9 and 11 a.m. and include a full range of children's programs, as well as a ministry specifically for children with special needs. Find us on Facebook or visit our website at rockpoint.org for more information.
Last week, I had the privilege of doing a vow renewal for one of our family members here at the church, 50 years of marriage. Something about longevity of relationships that speaks of depth. There's some of you that I've met, and we've just been around for a year or two, maybe or so, but there's an awareness that there's a commonality in a relationship. There's others that have been around for decades that speak of that history even more so. And that's also been particularly wonderful when we've had that with staff over the years. Today we have with us, as part of our continuing guest series through this time, Kent and Erica Chevalier. Erica was actually our first person who helped part of the team financially that helped to launch our Handprints ministry over there. Kent had been our youth pastor in years past. He went on from there to do a number of other things, including at the current time, for the last number of years, has been the chaplain for the Pittsburgh Steelers, for which we as Detroit Lions fans will forgive him for the moment. A little compensation or defensation for that. He is also a songwriter and musician. But he's also been recognized increasingly as a national-level speaker, serves on the board of Lion's Share, which is a leadership group, and we've enjoyed really good friendship over the years. And so I'm going to ask you this morning, would you please warmly welcome Kent Chevalier.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is so good to be back at our church home in Detroit. One of the most meaningful things that Randy ever said to me was the day that we were leaving to go back to Pittsburgh to plant a church. He said, "Kent, this will always be your church home." And I've never forgotten that, and it's always good to come back home to see so many people. Over the last couple of days, we've been getting together with old youth leaders that were serving at Rock Point. Check this out, 23 years ago. Like, it's been that long. So I feel that old. So if you had parents in the student ministry, like if you had kids in the student ministry and you're still here, you're old. Yeah, just saying. But Erica and I, we often say this, Rock Point changed our marriage. If we don't come here, I don't even want to imagine the type of ministry leaders we would have been. So it's such a great place to come. We learned community. We learn deep friendships. We learn freedom of worship. And so it's just so good to be back with all of you. And I hope that we ruin your Christmas. Steelers are coming to Detroit. So I hope a little sour taste in your mouth as you celebrate Jesus on Christmas because we beat you. Anyway. So, good morning. It's good to be back with all of you. We do have the privilege of serving as the Steelers chaplains. As in a part of our role with the Steelers, we love to just do ministry very relationally. Think about it, young men and women who are coming to a brand new city that they've never been to before, and we just love to invite them around our dinner table. Just to have great conversation and to be alongsiders with them. So we do this often. Come over to our house, have a home-cooked meal. And as we were sitting down, I noticed that there was one guy who was running late, which was completely unlike him. He's usually always there. So I shot him a text and I said, "Okay, hey, we're going to start without you. So just come inside the house and you just come inside. We're eating at the table." About 10 minutes later, he comes running into our house. You can tell something was wrong. And I was like, is everything okay? And he goes, "No, I was just in the wrong house." So check this out. He got the whole way inside the door. He went inside deep into the living room. He realized nobody was there. So he started looking. He thought somebody was playing a trick on him. So he started looking at the pictures on the walls. It was the wrong family. It wasn't our family. So he quietly creeped out of the house. As he got outside, he looked at the door frame, and on the door frame was 112. Our address is 122. Could you imagine? Oh, he went through the wrong door. And could you imagine? We can laugh about it, ha, ha, ha. But can you imagine a very large intruder coming into your home? And what could have the consequences been, right? You're just defending your home from a very large NFL player. You don't know he's an NFL player, right? Imagine in that moment the headlines, Steelers player cut from the team, all because he walked through the wrong door. There's consequences when you walk through the wrong door. Today, I want to preach with you out of John 10:7, where Jesus said, "I am the door." So if you have your Bibles in John 10, I want to study what Jesus said, where he said, starting in verse 1, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief or a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he's brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Look at this. "A stranger they're not going to follow, but they're going to flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech that Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them, so Jesus had to say it again. "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door." He's being very clear. "If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. But the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Jesus said, "I am the door." The context of this particular text, of this I am statement from Jesus, is an ongoing battle that Jesus is having with a particular group of Pharisees, Jewish religious leaders, who have it out for Jesus. They believe that Jesus is the false teacher that's trying to cause the people of the Jewish time to lead them astray. But Jesus, by using this sheep pen illustration, is laying down a massive claim about who he is, about himself, that before this moment, they think he's the one who's leading them astray, but he's going, let me tell you who I am. And so before I share with you five different opportunities from this text that I believe Jesus wants us to know today, I want to help us with our imaginations, because my guess is anybody a shepherd here? Okay, we might not have a context for this. So let me help us with our imaginations. I want to show you some pictures as it pertains to these sheep pens. So this first picture, look at this. You can see that there's only one way in to the sheep pen. And it's a really narrow opening. Take a look at this next picture. There's really jagged rocks on top to keep the intruders, the wolves or thieves or robbers out who would want to steal the sheep, to sell them, to maybe eat them. I don't know. How about this third picture? I love this. An artist rendering of how the shepherd or a gatekeeper would lay across the one opening. Now, this would have been kind of familiar imagery to Jesus' audience. They would have known during this time, multiple shepherds would hire a gatekeeper, a doorkeeper, to keep watch over multiple flocks of sheep. So get this, multiple flocks inside one sheep pen that belong to different shepherds. And there's only one way in and one way out of this sheep pen. Imagination, you got it, all right? Now I want to share with you five different opportunities that I believe that Jesus is giving to us here today, that if you want to start taking notes with me, that number one, we have the opportunity to recognize that there's only one right door. We got to understand what Jesus is laying down here. With this I am statement, I am the door, Jesus is making a massive claim about who he is. In front of this Jewish crowd, in front of this group of Pharisees who have it out for him, Jesus is making a claim here. I'm the Messiah. I am the Son of God. I'm the one who saves. I'm the only door by which people will find salvation and eternal security with God. See, Jesus is saying that he is the sole legitimate entry into the fold of God. And then he warns us that there's a whole bunch of other ways that people try to get in, representing false teachers and false doors who are leading people astray. And we could be thinking all along that these false doors are the right door, but we're entering into the wrong house. And it has some massive consequences. And this is the rub that my friends have with Christianity. And I'm sure that your friends have the exact same problem, the objection that Christianity, it's just too exclusive. This past season, I have the privilege of being at all the practices for the Steelers, on the sidelines and at the games on the sidelines. And during practice one day, this one young man, a player, came up to me and he said, Kent, do you really believe that Jesus is the only way to get to heaven? He said, aren't all religions just different ways to get to the same God? Like, this is an actual conversation just last season. And so I had to say, no, they don't. Because Jesus distinguishes himself from any other door. He said, I am the door. If you enter by me, you'll be saved. Not by the door of the Roman gods, not by the door of Allah or Buddha. Jesus separates himself from all other gods. And he said, we're not the same. There's only one right door. And Jesus' language here, it's so exclusive. However, it's also all-inclusive. He said, anyone, all who come to me will be saved. See, Jesus is saying here that there have been other people, other doorways trying to convince you of just how you can get to God and please God. So you just do these religious things correctly. You observe these certain commandments that that's going to put you into a right relationship with God. And Jesus is saying, no. That's not how it goes. It's got to be through a relationship with me by walking into my door that you'll have a relationship with God. It's not how good you are. It's not a scale of your good outweighing your bad. It's not your mom's faith or your dad's faith that gets you in. It's not by attending a church service like this that gets you in. Jesus says, I'm the door. Anyone who enters by me will be saved. So Jesus is giving us the opportunity today to recognize that he is the only right door. If you're taking notes with me, number two, we can have the opportunity today to respond to the shepherd's voice. Now, I'm not a shepherd, obvious. Right? I don't have any experience with herding sheep, but in my research, reading commentaries and watching videos on Logos and on Google, you can actually Google this yourself. There's a video that's circulating right now. If you just type in sheep with the shepherd, you'll find it. There is a trip that's taking place, and obviously the shepherd is teaching an illustration here of how the sheep recognize the shepherd's voice. And so one person was kind of dared to step up. There's sheep out in the field, and they are grazing. And you can catch it on video. You can see this where the one person steps up and they give the command that the shepherd told them to give. Tucka, 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 tucka. Yeah, that's what they're saying. And everybody's laughing and giggling, but the sheep don't even respond. The next person goes up and everybody's giggling. Tucka, 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 tucka. And the sheep don't even look up. They're just eating head down the grass right in front of them. This goes on until the shepherd then comes. He gives the exact command that all those others tried. And as soon as he said, tucka, 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 like this, the sheep went, huh? He gives the command again, tucka, 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 and the sheep come running to the shepherd. This is what Jesus is saying. The point that Jesus is making in verses 3 and 4 are that his sheep know him and he knows his sheep. They know his voice. That through Jesus, God desires to have an intimate relationship with each of us, and they'll follow his voice because they know it. Did you catch it in there that Jesus even calls his sheep by name? This is for somebody today. You've been wondering if God sees you. And I want you to know that Jesus knows not only your situation, but he calls you by name. The God of the universe, so vast and majestic, knows your name. Don't bypass that. He desires to know you so intimately. He cares so deeply for what's causing you stress and anxiety. And as your shepherd, he watches over you and he knows what's causing you that. He sees you in your pain and he's with you in that pain. He knows your concerns, but you know what else? He knows what brings you joy. He knows what makes you tick because he loves you and he created you. So let me ask you this question. How well do you know Jesus' voice in your life? How responsive are you to Jesus' call? Tucka, tucka, tucka. How do you know in a culture of AI and Instagram scrolling and TikTok, how do you know if you are listening to the right shepherd? See, these are great questions. And I want to submit to you that the number one way that God speaks to us is through his word, the Bible. And the more that we explore the pages of the sacred text and study what Jesus taught, the more that we will recognize his voice in our daily lives, not just on Sundays. But then on the flip side of this, Jesus said that his sheep will not follow strangers' voices. So in this illustration, Jesus is addressing false teachers and who we're listening to, which leads me to the third opportunity in this illustration Jesus gives us to resist relentless deceptions, to resist them. For this point, I just simply want to ask you a question. Who are you listening to for spiritual advice? Like, who are you listening to on a regular basis about spiritual things? Think about this, right? Because there's some voices that we think are going to lead us to the right door, but if we continue to listen and follow those shepherds, we will end up going into the wrong house with serious consequences. Who are you listening to? In our journey of ministering in the NFL and walking alongside some amazing young people, we are continuing to discover the depths of how people are searching for spiritual things. And we're encouraged that they're searching, but we're very disturbed by where they're searching. And so this might even describe some of you here today, but the young men and women that we have the privilege to walk alongside, this might just be a week that I describe in their calendar. So check this out. On one day, they might come to a Christian worship service like this, but then the next day, they might stop into the local psychic for a reading. The next day, they pull out the daily horoscope for their guidance of that day. Some of them we know are dabbling with crystals, not knowing that there's a potential of crossing paths with a witch. All of them are scrolling on Instagram and TikTok and Twitter, now X, for their spiritual motivation and guidance without even knowing the people that they're listening to. And the only reason that they're listening to those people is because there was a whole bunch of people who are also following them. So the more followers that they have, it must be that they're worthy of me listening to your voice. And while I'm encouraged that they're searching, I'm really disturbed, and it breaks my heart of who they're listening to: false teachers, strangers' voices, dabbling in the demonic without even knowing it. So who are you listening to for your spiritual advice? Where are you going for your spiritual guidance? And I'll make this point even further. It's sometimes, you know, all the time in Steelers Chapel and in Bible studies, I will say this: please don't take my word for it. I mean, here today, you don't know me. Like, I'm a guest in the house today. Why would you take my word for it if I'm telling you the truth or not? You don't know me. Now, I understand there's some trust here, right? But here's the thing. Everything that is shared as we scroll and as we listen and as Randy and other people are up here, my advice to you would be what Paul said: test everything according to the word of God. Don't take my word for it. Take God's word for it. And then if what they are saying lines up with the truth of the everlasting scriptures, then follow it and do what they say. See, who are you listening to is such an important question that we have to answer in this culture today. And I beg you to come back to the everlasting word of God and to resist those and reject those relentless deceptions that keep coming at us. Stay true to the word of God. Are you still with me this morning? Okay, number one, we have recognized there's the only right door. Number two, respond to the shepherd's voice. Number three, resist relentless deceptions. If you're still taking notes, number four, rejoice in the abundant life. Jesus said, if anyone enters by me, they will be saved, and they will be saved for abundant life. Some of you, you have the joy of the Lord, but you need to tell your face. Some of you have the joy of the Lord, but you need to tell your fingers as you're typing on social media, because your joy does not match what you're saying on social media. You're mean. Stop it. Stop being a jerk, because you got the joy of the abundant life that Jesus gives to you. The imagery here that Jesus is giving to us is that we need to live that abundant life that overflows from that spirit-filled life inside of us. And when we do that and we follow Jesus, it means that we're being cared for. It means that we have everything that we need physically, spiritually, emotionally, socially. It's all provided through him. And we're safe when we follow in Jesus' ways. We can trust Jesus that he will lead us to the green pastures, not some political leader. Jesus is the one who will provide the peace of green pastures. This image Jesus would have kind of conjured up amongst his original audience, they would have all gone to David, who went to Psalm 23. Jesus is inviting them to trust in God's promises amidst the chaos of culture. See, not just in this life to come, like not just in heaven someday when we'll get our peace, but right here, right now, as heaven touches earth. I want to listen to the words of Psalm 23 that Jesus was pointing at as he gives this illustration. Listen to this. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures beside quiet, still waters. He refreshes my soul. He restores my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Not mine, not my brand, his name's sake. And even if I walk through the darkest valley, is anybody in a dark valley? I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. In all this chaos, you anoint my head with oil, and my cup, it overflows. And then watch this. As I follow the path of Jesus, surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Not just in heaven someday, but starting right now. So tell your face that you have the joy, you have the peace, you have the fruit of the Spirit in your life, and live that way. When we follow Jesus like this, this is the life we get to live. Surely goodness is going to follow me because I trust you. See, Jesus said, I've come for that kind of life. So rejoice in it if you have it, if you know Jesus and you're following him. Rejoice. But then at the same time, you got to remember that there are many false doors that are trying to get you to follow. And they're going to lead you to paths of destruction with serious consequences. See, they promise that they're going to deliver, but they never do. See, the false door that promises peace, but it's not everlasting peace. Maybe momentary, it's not everlasting. See, the false door of the promise of a fat paycheck, but you know it's going to destroy your family. The false door of that will promise you all kinds of success in this life, but it's going to steal your inner peace. The false door that's going to promise you significance and a platform, but it's going to take your eternal impact. If you're here and you found the right door of Jesus, rejoice. But at the same time, please never forget this last opportunity that I see in the scriptures that Jesus invites all of us to. Number five. Reach others outside the door. I'm going to invite Jake and the team to come back up. And as I close today, I want to share a poem with you that's written by a very influential man in Pittsburgh. His name is Sam Shoemaker. Sam Shoemaker led the Calvary Episcopal Church in Pittsburgh for just a decade in the 50s, 1952 to 1962. But he had a major influence. I could say this, still having a major influence. So he prophetically declared over the city of Pittsburgh in a prayer meeting. They were praying and he said this phrase, God, I would love to see Pittsburgh to become more famous for God than steel. And so out of that prayer has been birthed so many ministries in the city of Pittsburgh. And Sam had a heart and a mission to reach those who were outside the door. And near the end of his ministry, near the end of his life, he penned this poem that I want to share with you now. I Stand by the Door by Sam Shoemaker. I stand by the door. I need either go too far in or stay too far out. You know what? Let me do this. Sometimes all of this can be a little bit distracting. I would just want to invite you to maybe close your eyes and listen to the words. I stand by the door. I neither go too far in nor stay too far out. The door is the most important door in the world. It is the door through which men walk when they find God. And there's no use going way inside and staying there with so many are still outside, and they, as much as I, crave to know where the door is. And all that so many ever find is only the wall where the door ought to be. And they creep along that wall like blind men with outstretched, groping hands, feeling for a door, knowing that there must be a door, yet they never find it. So I stand by the door. The most tremendous thing in the world is for men to find that door, the door to God, The most important thing that any person can do is to take hold of one of those blind, groping hands and put it on the latch that only clicks and opens to the man's own touch. People die outside that door, as striving beggars die. On cold nights in cruel cities in the dead of winter, they die for the want of what is within their grasp. They live on the other side of it. They live because they've not found it. Nothing else matters compared to helping them find it and open it and walk in and find God. So I stand by the door. Go in, great saints, go all the way in. Go way down into the cavernous cellars and way up into the spacious attics. It is a vast, roomy house, this house where God is. Go into the deepest of hidden casements of withdrawal, of silence, and sainthood. Some must inhabit those inner rooms and know the depths and the heights of God and call outside to the rest of us how wonderful it is. Sometimes I take a deeper look in. Sometimes venture in a little farther. But my place seems to be closer to the opening, so I stand by the door. There's another reason why I stand there. Some people, they get partway in and then they become afraid lest God and the zeal of his house devour them. For God is so very great and asks all of us. And these people, they feel a cosmic claustrophobia and they don't want to get out. They say, let me out, they cry, and the people way inside, they only terrify them more. Somebody must be by the door to tell them that they are spoiled for the old life, that they've seen too much, one taste of God, and nothing but God will do anymore. Somebody must be watching for the frightened who seek to sneak out where they came in to tell them how much better it is inside. The people too far in, They do not see how near these are to leaving, preoccupied with the wonder of it all. Somebody must watch for those who have entered the door but would like to run away. So for them too, I stand by the door. See, I admire the people who go way in, but I wish that they would not forget how it was before they got in. Then they would be able to help the people who have not yet even found the door, or the people who want to run away again from God. So you can go in too deeply and stay in too long and forget the people outside the door. So as for me, I shall take my old accustomed place near enough to God to hear him and know that he's there, but not so far from men as to not hear them and remember that they are there too. Where? Outside the door, thousands of them, millions of them. But more important for me, one of them, two of them, 10 of them, whose hands I'm intended to put on the latch. So I shall stand by the door and wait for those who seek it. I'd rather be a doorkeeper. So I stand by the door. Is that not an incredible poem by Sam Shoemaker? It's an incredible reminder. Yeah. Rock Point. We love this church. It's our home church. So Rock Point, may we never be a people who go so far inside that we forget the people who have never yet entered the door. And in fact, you might be here today and somebody invited you in to come through these doors to meet the door to salvation. His name is Jesus. And some of you, as we've walked through this illustration, you have noticed that, man, you have been going into the wrong house through wrong doors lately. You've been trying to do your door. This is the way I want to go through it, life, and I'm going to enter my door. I do it. But see, when we enter through Jesus, we find the life. We find the peace that many of us, we hope that those other doors lead to. And if you're honest with yourself today, you're tired of going through the wrong doors and you are facing the consequences of your poor decisions. And so at this altar today, I want to give you an opportunity to make a decision to lay it all down. Because when we understand that Jesus says, I am the door, We recognize that we can't do it our way anymore. And we preach so much, and I love it. We preach grace, that God gives us so much grace. And sometimes I feel like maybe I forget, or in the preaching that I'm hearing lately on TikTok, they don't tell you this, that to enter this door, you have to die. You can no longer be the leader of your own life. It's Jesus' way, because his way leads to life. Your way leads to destruction, death, consequences. So you have to lay your life down, all of your selfishness, all of your pride, thinking that you have it together. To walk through his door takes a humble and broken heart. And somebody who says, okay, I'm done leading, and I'm ready to follow the shepherd's voice. Is that you today? And if that's you, I want to share the very words of Jesus as I close. Revelation 3:20, Jesus says this, "Here I am, I stand at your door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in." So we're going to play a song here in this moment, and I want you to think about your life. And if you need to lay it down to follow Jesus through him, then you need to respond in your heart that way. Let go and follow Jesus through his door. God bless.
I really enjoy meeting new people. But if you'll excuse me today to say that old friends are still the best. And there's something about walking together for over two decades of time I just find incredibly rich. And I would just say today, what a pleasure it's been, and what joy we've taken, many of us in this room, over Kent, Nerica, your successes, and how the kids have grown, and everything else, and what you guys have accomplished. It's just everything you've done, we take joy in. And to have you guys here with us today, thank you for joining and being here with us. Thank you. Now, here's something that happened ways back. When I was youth pastor, we actually were having a youth leaders gathering after a Sunday service, and we were going over to one of our leaders' houses. I'm in charge of the meeting, but I'm running late because of some stuff I got involved in. So I run over to this house, and I'm seeing the cars, and so I run in, and there's people, and I'm literally, same thing, I'm all the way into the living room with a crowd of people there before I realize I don't know any of these people. And it was not my friend's house. And I immediately walk out as quickly as I can, and I look and I realize that my friend's house looked exactly the same, but it was right next door to that house. So I've had that experience. Going through the wrong door, it can really mess you up. But you go into the right door, and your friends are waiting for you, and there's a meal laid out, and all that's there to prepare. There's nothing like that. For those of you that may have made that decision today, I hope you will join us. For those of you that have already made that decision, don't ever forget what that meant. And then here's one final thing for you to kind of stick in your head here a bit. As you leave the sanctuary today, many of you will go out that entrance there in the back. And as you go out there into the atrium, that door that leads into the atrium was the original entrance into this church. The whole atrium was added 20 years ago, and we're going to celebrate that as we go debt-free here. We're going to celebrate that this fall. But that was the original door. When we added that atrium, we literally expanded and opened up other doorways and possibilities for people to join and be a part of things. Expand your understanding of what it means to invite people to be a part of things. And then two final points. One is, as you go through those new entrances, two, not just one, as we said before, on the ground there, on the cement, you find carved in, if you pay attention, and the mats aren't covering it, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," is what's both at those entrances. Now, here's the final thing I'd say as you leave today. For this week, you're going to walk through a lot of different doorways. Your home, your work, whatever it is. Every time you walk through a doorway for this next week, I want you to remember this message. Every doorway you walk through, let that be a trigger point in your mind for what you've heard today. And process those five things that were said. Process how you're reaching out to others. Process the joy that you have. There'll be those available up front here for prayer if you'd like to come forward afterwards. Next week, Steve Gill, our former children's pastor, will be joining with us, and that'll be something you'll want to be a part of as well. Father, we come before you, and I pray your blessing right now upon Kent and Erica and the girls. I pray, Lord, I can't go as far as to bless the Pittsburgh Steelers, but I do pray your blessing upon Kent in his ministry to those poor people that are stuck in that benighted town. Father, I pray that you continue to bless and guide us as a church, even as you bless them. And Lord, I thank you for the richness of friendship, and that it may continue for decades until we find that time in heaven when it's going on for eternity. Lord, for anyone who made a decision today, stir their hearts, draw them close to you, I pray. Guide us in these things as a church, in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. God bless you.